Hello and welcome to the Enchant Escapes podcast. This is episode number 26. I'm your host and travel planner, Ben Yonke. In today's episode, we're going to talk with Kimberly Crum about all the stuff that you must do at Walt Disney's Epcot Resort. But first, let's get into the news. By far, the biggest news in the theme park industry is that Epic Universe, Universal Studios' new theme park, will be open by summer of 2025. Jeff Shell, NBC Universal's CEO, announced this news just the other day. In fact, he said that construction was going pretty well and it was full steam ahead. He also did mention some disappointment that they had paused production during the COVID-19 pandemic. If the park would have stayed on track, this would have had an opening in 2023. Over in Walt Disney World, it looks like Fantasmic is about ready to open. BioReconstruct has been taking photos overhead as he flies past, and it looks like the refurb is pretty much done, which bodes well. We should see Fantasmic here sometime before summer, it looks like. That show, of course, got retooled, rethemed, some new scenes added to it, and a whole bunch of new tech installed during this downtime and refurb. Well, that's it for the biggest news items of the day. We're going to jump right into my discussion with Kim. But before I do, in a way to make sure I'm not hit with 1,000 emails, I do need to make a small correction. In this episode, I discuss the TV show Trapped in Paradise. At least, I thought at the time it was called Trapped in Paradise. In reality, it is Thunder in Paradise, the Hulk Hogan classic Thunder in Paradise. So I apologize for misquoting the title there. Well, let's get right into it. Here we go with Kim. So what do you specialize in? What do you feel is your strong suit as an agent?
Most of my clients end up being military. Oh. So my husband was military and a lot of our contacts are military.
Okay.
So I would say nearly all of my clients are military. not all of them, of course, but most of them end up being military clients, whether one of us knew them personally or, you know, they've been referred,
sure. Do you find there's a connective tissue in what military families are looking for? Do they, for example, do they do more Disneyland or more cruises, or they prefer Epcot over Animal Kingdom? You know, what's something that none of us might realize about them?
I would probably say not as many cruises. Okay. A lot of military families.
They did their time at sea, is what you're telling me.
That's funny. No, but a lot of military families are single income families.
Okay, sure.
And so maybe their budget isn't as large. You know, there are a lot of advantages that the military families get, you know, as far as their discounts with tickets and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I would say that a lot of them are traveling on a budget.
Being more on the West Coast side of the world, I mean, you're not quite to California yet, but you're getting closer. Do you find yourself going to Disneyland more, Disney World? Where do you like to travel?
So my family's happy place is Disneyland.
Okay.
That is our preferred park. However, we just moved from the East Coast, and so we went to Disneyland in November of 2021, and the last time we had been to Disneyland prior to that was June of 2012.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So a big gap there, big gap. But mm-hmm. when we had lived on the East or on the West Coast, we had season passes to Disney for several years to Disneyland. And then on the East Coast, we did what we had to do and suffered and went to Disney World.
Oh, it's so sad that you had to go to Disney World instead.
I know. Suffer.
So
but...
rough. Yes. I understand. I understand Disneyland being your home park. It, you know, the place where Walt walked is always going to hold a special place in all of our hearts. And for anybody that hasn't been there should definitely make a trip. Find get with one of our travel agents and make the trip there, because it's such a special place and it's so warm. I always say that, you know, the magic is still very much there. It's just very much confined isn't the right word. Compressed is probably closer. It's so tight, it's so heartwarming, and it just surrounds you like a comfort blanket when you're inside the parks in Disneyland.
That's a good way to describe it.
Isn't it? It's hard. Yeah. It's hard not to feel the magic and the warmth when you're in that park. It really is.
For sure.
You've got to be trying to have a bad day.
I don't know that you can have a bad day. I mean, you know, I've had my share of crying children and all of that in that park, but it is really hard to have a bad day.
It is really hard. Well, so, okay, so you are a... an East Coast, West Coast, East Coast, bouncing back and forth, and you find as much time as you can in the parks. Today I asked you to think about things in Epcot that are must-dos for you and your family, or that you, you know, recommend to your clients. Do you have any must-dos on the top of your list?
So, if I'm being 100% honest...
Uh-oh, here comes the truth bomb.
Epcot is not my favorite park.
Okay.
However, my favorite thing to do at Epcot is to do Run Disney.
Oh, sure.
And so, you know, you get your glimpse of the whole park that way. But sentimentally, our family's favorite thing is to go on Soarin', because, you know, it was in California. Adventures first, and it was soaring over California, and so that version of it, I would say, is our favorite. It's my favorite. Wow. And it does bring a tear to our family's eye when we ride the ride. Joy, not sadness and fear, but so that is a must do for us. We like Mission Space, the orange version. We're kind of thrill junkies. And then we just kind of like to snack our way around the world.
Well, and that's true.
We don't drink our way around.
You don't drink your way around. Sure. Okay.
But we snack our way around.
I think if you ask anybody what their must-dos in Epcot are, yes, eating around the world is going to be one of the tops on the list. Yeah, you can't get past that, can you? It's rare that, I mean, people love Soarin'. People, of course, love Mission Space. It is rare that that is a must-do for people, I find, when I'm talking to people. So that's interesting. That's wonderful that those are some of your musts. You know, we've got Epcot right now as the largest construction site on property as they finish everything up and get that core of the park working again and up and running. So, you know, I can understand where at the current moment, it's not a lot of people's favorite park either. So you're, you know, in good company there. There's a lot of people who are just waiting for the construction to end. But what is it about Epcot that makes it not your favorite park? Well, that's a hot button item. I've got to ask more about that.
I would say I would just, I like more rides, I guess. There are a lot of rides.
There are.
You know, there are a lot of things to do. I'm really looking forward to Remy.
Okay.
But I would say that I like more of the roller coaster rides and things like that.
Yeah, see, there's where you get to it. So maybe when we get Cosmic Rewind open here in a little bit, you're change your tune.
It could change. It could change.
Epcot
like
has always
all
been
the little, the little areas, you know, the little countries, and you know, that's all fun. It's all neat to see, especially for somebody who might not be a world traveler. That's always, you know, neat to see. We've been to several other countries. And, you know, we've always instilled the love of travel mm-hmm. in our family. Mm-hmm. But that's always neat to go in and you go down the little streets in England and things like that. I think that's, you know, neat to see. So.
Well, and they have some of the best restaurants in all of Disney in Epcot, in World mm-hmm. Showcase, to be more exact.
Yeah, we try to eat something that we haven't eaten before when okay. we're there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and with the multiple countries, that is easy to do. Yeah, we did the Biergarten restaurant last time we were in Germany, and mm-hmm. where it's Oktoberfest every day of the week, and I loved it. But my we grew up German and we ate there for the family, and mm-hmm. so I was very used to all the sauerkraut, all the wieners, I'm trying to think of some of the names of some of the items, but. You know, that was the food we grew up with, that I grew up with. And so my kids haven't really ate it before. You know, they're right. they're much more American food. They're much more of that palate. And yeah, they did not have a good experience, but I had a great one. It was all the foods of my childhood, and it was all so way foreign for them. They were not digging the sauerkraut.
Yeah, so I like to try and do a special trip with my kids, and I'm trying to work into taking each one of them individually to a Disney park okay. by themselves, just me and them.
Special moments.
So when I was when I was taking my second youngest, it was our last day, and Epcot was going to be our last day,
okay.
and we had packed all our belongings and, you know, sent them off, had them waiting for us for when we, you know, got on the bus to go back to the airport. And it decided it was going to rain all day, but we had put our raincoats in there in our suitcase. And we desperately wanted food from Germany.
Okay.
And it was pouring.
Oh.
And so we ran, you know, all the way around, stopping in little stops, trying to get over there so that we could get our bratwurst. Mm-hmm. And so that's always a fun memory. But yeah, the things you do for food.
Indeed.
Well, you mentioned the Japan Pavilion, and that is, I would say that's a must do for my family. We love to go in there and shop and see all the little goodies. And that area is just so pretty around there.
It is. And it has so many little hidden tucked away areas. I spoke on the last episode about the quiet space with the koi pond up by Katsuya Grill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of those pavilions do. They have those areas where you can just slip away and find these little hidden nooks. Morocco is another great one where you can go into the Morocco Pavilion and find some beautiful tile work and some hidden rooms back there where no one's in. And it's just these nice little quiet moments that you can have inside this hustling, bustling theme park that are beautiful,
yeah.
that no one ever, you know, they walk right by it and they don't appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. One of my favorite spots at Disneyland actually is just a little quiet spot. And it's just my little go-to so I could relax and decompress for a minute. And I always recommend that my clients go there.
And where is there?
It is in front of the restroom by the Alice ride.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the restroom is decorated very pretty.
Okay.
It's decorated like the cards.
Yeah.
The queen's cards. And so the parks, actually the different areas of the park meet right there. So
you're talking like right by Tinkerbell's Cove area as you come around that
right.
side. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And so
I've never been in those restrooms. So now I'm going to have to check them out. Okay.
They're beautiful.
Okay.
It's one of those places you want to take pictures, but then you feel awkward to take pictures because you're in a restroom.
Right. Same as the Tangled bathrooms in the Magic Kingdom at Disney World. Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. You want to pull out your video camera or something and capture this moment, but no, it's a restroom.
Right. But also if you're at that area of the park, then when parades are going by, all the characters are focused on you and your children or whatever, because they can't be on the other side. You can't go on the other side. So you have everyone's focus if you're there. So I always recommend that my clients watch the parades there.
Okay.
Because they get that focus. So
that's a perfect
kids tip. Always enjoy it.
Yeah.
But what is your top must do at Epcot? You said Mission Space and Soarin' would not be.
No, they're not. They're not on the top of my list.
So.
And they're not mine. I hate Mission Space. I hate Mission Space with a passion. But granted, I always have to say this. I cannot spin. So orange is out for me. So I've never tried orange.
Orange is out.
So green just feels like so much money spent for the most tamest flight simulator on the planet. I am not a fan of Mission Space. Soarin' I love. Soarin' I enjoy. You're right. Uh-huh. I do like it much more in California Adventure, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's because it's the original. I don't know if it's because the Hayner design that they have there on the exterior, I think, makes much more sense than squeezing it into the land.
Right.
So, yes, those two are not tops of my list. If I'm going to Epcot, and anybody who's listened to the podcast knows, I am a fan of original Epcot. I'm a fan of 1980s, no characters in my Epcot, Horizon still running, Science Expo is what I love. That is the Epcot that I love and have so much heart for. So no, you're gonna find me at really two things that I encourage highly, and that is the Spaceship Earth. You know, the one of the last original pieces of that park that represents what Epcot was when it was built. And then also over at the Living Seas. And I think the Living Seas, the Seas with Nemo and Friends, as it's now titled.
I was just about to ask if that was your favorite.
I'm, you know, that's, as I can tell by saying the name, I'm on the old school Living, the Seas. So, that's my favorite. I want to go see the manatees. I want to spend time with the dolphin tank. It used to be the largest indoor aquarium in the United States. Then it was beat by Atlanta, and now I think it's been beat again. I think it's the third at the current moment. I miss before they put the LED panels all over the tube and for the Nemo section. I miss when you used to be able to go through the tube and see the fish swimming all around you. I just love that. And then they brought in these Dane characters and put them all over my favorite ride. those are my two. They represent Epcot to me. That represents Epcot to me. There's a lot about the World Pavilion that is a must do for me. I mean, as I spoke earlier about the Voices of Liberty choir, and part of that is because I have a personal connection to them. I always have to stop and hear Ian and the Voices of Liberty sing. That's a must do. I always have to go over, and I always have some sake in Japan. That's just a personal thing that I do as I make my way around the world. You're fine that I don't drink much, and I never really drink when my children are around, but for some reason I'll break off from the family. This last time I left them in Germany and I went over to Japan and sat and had my traditional sake that became a tradition for me many, many years ago. It's just one of those things that I have to do now. I can't go without, you know, taking that moment. The Morocco Pavilion is the one that I spend my most time in when I'm in World Showcase. I love the Morocco Pavilion. I love the tile work. I love the artistry. I love the food that's in there. And I am such a nerd for the Morocco Pavilion that did you ever see the show Trapped in Paradise? No?
I don't think so.
I'll give you a hint.
No.
It starred Hulk Hogan and aired on Saturday mornings after Saturday morning cartoons were over. It was like a 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday show on, I think it was ABC. You know, something nobody was watching. Everybody was on a football game or they were outside. You know, they were somewhere. But that show, and we can do the history of that show sometime, but it is filmed completely in and around Disney property because it was this big thing for Hulk that when he was filming, he wanted to be at home, and that was Orlando. And so you have a lot of Hollywood Studios, then MGM, that is used in it, the backlot area. A lot of it was filmed in that section. But there's an episode, I want to say, and I, this is how nerdy I'm going to be. I'm going to know exactly what episode it was. I'm pretty sure it is episode 5. It only ran for one season, so you can't say season 2. It's episode 5 of season 1, where they go and they invade this foreign country to rescue the damsel in distress. They pull up in their giant boat right in front of the Morocco Pavilion. They climb the walls of the harbor there. They get out and they run completely through the Morocco Pavilion while having a gun battle, and it's wonderful. It's just there's my pavilion. I love that place. So I
might have to look it up.
You're
now.
You're gonna have to look it up. I am such a stupid nerd about this. I showed it to my children before this last trip, and they're just sitting there staring at me like, yeah, okay, we've been on movie sets before, Dad. This is, what are you talking about? And I'm like, but it's Morocco. I see it. It's right there. it's a great little piece of weird Disney history that's involved there in Epcot. So I love my Epcot. I love
That's funny. I'm going to have to look that up.
You should. You should. And if I remember right, I'll grab the clip and throw it on the Enchant Escapes Facebook page sometime or something like that. Out of the show, because I know I've got the show on digital, so I'll, just for that episode.
So I see you have lots of memorabilia and things around your office.
Oh, you might be interested most in this one. It's a Disneyland magazine, that was Welcome to Disneyland. They gave out to people their first trip, that first year that the parks were open. I've got two of them in here from it. It was printed before the parks opened, so there's no real ride imagery on it. And however, instead, there is all the artist renderings of what was coming to the park. And yeah, it is quite fascinating, this little magazine about everything that was coming to Disneyland and what they'd get to see if they came that first year.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. You know. Well, that concludes our show for today. If you have any questions or comments for myself or for Kim, please email me at benyunke@enchanted-escapes.com. That email, along with Kim's, will appear in our show notes down below. We always appreciate if you'd share on social media you're listening to the show. As well, don't forget when you're thinking about visiting a theme park to contact one of the Enchanted Escapes agents. And be sure to head over to Facebook, like our page at Enchanted Escapes Travel. There you can find ways to get in touch with any of our agents. We're here to help you, and our services are completely free to use. So from our Enchanted Escapes family to yours, thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next show.